is a rare a gem, a benefit, a blessing to have someone in studio with us. But the infamous and effervescent Gabriel Castillo is here with us this morning. Good morning to you, Gabe.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for inviting me on. I appreciate it greatly.
TrueFaith.tv?
Yes, sir. TrueFaith.tv.
And Gabby After Hours on YouTube.
And True Faith Talks and True Faith TV. Boy, we've got all the corners covered.
How many brands do you have?
So we've got three. And the reason for that is because we have one podcast channel, one talking channel, like talks and lectures that I've given or if I'm talking to you in my office, and then one high-quality production channel.
Yeah.
I think I learned that tip from you to, like, diversify the various content.
You taught me that one day. Don't blame me for your troubles, buddy?
Well, every day I'm like, why, Joe, why?
Well, you know, you can plug your ears for a minute, but, you know, I got to tell you, Gabriel Castillo is one of the most incredible Catholic evangelists on YouTube today. The content is captivating, it's engaging, it's challenging, and it's beautiful. So it's always a great pleasure to have you on the show. So thank you again for being on with us today. Let's talk about St. Joseph. I like the contrast between terror of demons and guardian of your family.
Yes. So we have to remember that first and foremost, because there's a lot of titles that we've given to St. Joseph, and they're all theologically correct, but first and foremost, he is the perfect father. And how perfect of a father is he that God the Father, from the moment that he had it in his mind that Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, would become a man, that he would entrust him to another man. And this man would have to be perfect because Jesus, being perfect, being God, would have to obey him in every aspect of his life. So this father whom he's going to entrust his own son to would have to be perfect. And the greatest love besides his own son that God the Father has is for his daughter, the most pure, the most holy, the most perfect, the mediatrix of all grace, the queen of the angels, would be entrusted to a man. So this man would have the greatest responsibility, would have to be the model of all the virtues. And what we forget often is that just as he is the perfect father for Joseph and he's the perfect husband for Mary, we are called to be other Christs. And so too, as we are united to Christ and we're supposed to be models of the Holy Family, St. Joseph is truly our father. As it's not a secret, all of the ills of society, I heard a statistic recently that in many communities, in many poor communities, their fatherless rate is 8 out of 10 children don't have a father in many of these communities.
Wow.
And so too, we see the illnesses that enter our society because of fatherless homes. But how much more is that true for us spiritually? Oftentimes it's like me and Jesus or me and Mary, but we also need a strong spiritual man in our life. In the Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes, there's a quote that I like that is attributed to John Paul II having written it. He said that by God revealing himself to man, by becoming a man, he reveals himself to man, he has revealed humanity to itself because Jesus is a perfect person. And so by Jesus entering a family, he's supposed to have revealed to us what it is like to have the perfect family. And so we already can imagine what it's like to have the perfect mother. And from Scripture, we know that Mary is truly our mother. We hear that in the book of Revelation. We hear that at the foot of the cross. But so too, spiritually, we have a perfect father who will provide for us like all fathers do. He'll give us attention. He'll give us love. And so we should have great confidence that if we're being united to Christ, if we're truly trying to give ourselves to Jesus with Mary, through Mary, that St. Joseph will absolutely provide for us if we entrust ourselves to him. Do we really believe that he is my spiritual father? And many times we don't even give him the opportunity, our human natures, to try and take control. And also he'll protect us. You mentioned that he's the terror of demons. So many men, especially, one of the reasons why we have fatherless homes is because the devil hates men and he hates women. And so he's trying to lead them astray. And we have to call on St. Joseph to help to protect us. And there's, I've come up with a couple of ways that we can honor St. Joseph. The first and best way to honor him, well, they're all great ways, but the first way is by imitation. So as men of families, we have to provide and protect for our family. And not just provide for them financially. And St. Joseph provided for the Holy Family perfectly. So when we need to go to him, we can trust that he will also provide for us insofar as we're imitating the Holy Family. So provide for them spiritually, provide for them emotionally. how many fathers do we know who are in the house who check, they go into work, they put their card in, they come out, they get home, they turn on the television, they have a beer, they relax, and they're not providing for their children emotionally. Mm-hmm. They're not providing for their children spiritually. Where we do have fathers in the home, so often it's the mom who's leading all the prayers. It's the mom who's the head of the household. I spoke to a young man recently who said that he kind of resented his own father for not being the spiritual leader in the home, and that he even lost respect for his mother because she was the one who was overtaking that power. So women sometimes, you know, they have the concupiscible desire to dominate over the man. So it's important that we examine our role. I often wonder, how often would St. Joseph be looking at his cell phone if he was alive today? His
kid,
little Jesus wants attention. Oh, I can't. Let me send this email. You know what I mean?
Right to the heart.
Well, I'm just reflecting on St. Joseph in my own life. Another aspect that we really need to pay attention to is protector of the home. Yeah. A lot of times we think of protector being, you know, a man who's going to pull his gun out if somebody's breaking into the household, or a man who's going to stand up for his wife in public if she, and that's very important. We have that moral obligation. But there's a deeper enemy that's coming into the house that we are not protecting against. How many young people have cell phones that they're using unchecked? How many young people have technology in their rooms? And so, sure, the devil is not going to enter through the front door wearing a long cape and having his tail blowing in the wind. He's going to enter through the cracks, through all the weaknesses where we're not being vigilant fathers.
Yeah.
And one of those ways is by not saying no. If you think about how did Eve fall in the garden? Adam was there. Adam was aware that the serpent was speaking to her. Mm-hmm. And Adam failed to say no. He failed to say, no, get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. I will crush your head. We don't have to wait for the woman because the man is here to do his job.
Amen.
And so, too, in the family today, we can look at St. Joseph. St. Joseph never had to tell Our Lady no, and he never had to tell Jesus no. But if Jesus had any rotten friends that were coming over and they were starting to, you know, try to, you know, influence Jesus in a negative way, I can assure you St. Joseph would have said, no, get out of my house immediately. So we left off and I was saying that one of the reasons how the devil gets into our homes is because we don't say no to the ones that we love, especially we don't say no whenever Satan is entering. But the number one reason that men don't stand up to their children, and sometimes even, God willing, they don't have to, but sometimes they have to stand up to their wives and say no, is because they do not say no to themselves.
Mm.
In order to imitate St. Joseph was a man who controlled his appetites, who controlled his passions. And so first and foremost, a man must say no to himself. He must say no to himself when he has a temptation towards lust and he's wasting time on the computer. He must say no to himself when he's maybe being gluttonous and might be overeating. He needs to control those passions. He needs to say no to himself when he gets home from work and he wants to sit on the couch and watch television or check the news. Because when he gets home, he has the responsibility, as we said earlier, to provide for his family, to give his wife attention, to give his children attention, to spend quality time and to pray with them. Now, saying no to ourselves is very, very, very difficult. If we could do it on our own, well, we wouldn't need Jesus. But we need the grace of God to do that, and St. Joseph wants to help us with that. So the second way, besides imitating St. Joseph, that we can honor him is by going to him, is by going to his intercession. And first and foremost, how can I possibly call to mind St. Joseph and how virtuous he is and even ask him for his help if I don't have images of him in my home? It's important. I encourage every person listening in every family, every Catholic family, to get a large, beautiful image of St. Joseph as a reminder to yourself that you have a spiritual father who's looking out for you. You have a spiritual father who wants to provide for you. And big images, they're going to be expensive sometimes, but go out of your way. Make that purchase, find something beautiful that really speaks to your heart, and on a daily basis, he's going to bless you. Mm. Every time you look upon his beautiful face, you're going to say, I've got a father, and he's going to remind you of the virtues he's calling to imitate. And when you're starting to worry about your finances, you'll say, no, I'll go to Joseph. I'm going to let Joseph take care of the finances. Just like children shouldn't worry about paying the bills, so too in the spiritual realm, we shouldn't have to really worry about making these financial choices because we know we have somebody looking out for us. Also, I encourage you to get a statue of St. Joseph. Let's say, I know that there's many people, especially in the Filipino culture, who like the sleeping St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. I have one of those. Sometimes I'll put my intercessions underneath his pillow. And I'll say, I just got to keep praying and wake him up. But the reality is St. Joseph does not sleep on the job. He barely sleeps and he's remembered for it. Yeah. He's so disciplined in his passions and in his appetites that he gets remembered for being a sleeper.
That's funny.
He's not sleeping on our intercessions. I can assure you of that. And then most importantly, we need his intercession by prayers. Out of sight, out of mind. If he's not on our lips, how can he possibly be helping us if we're not raising our minds and our hearts to him? So the most basic way, because you might be saying, I prayed too much. Last time you were on the radio, you want me to pray so many rosaries. Now I got to do the Josaries and do all the St. Joseph prayers. It's very simple, my brothers and sisters. I don't mean to like burden you. So what's the most basic way that you can remember St. Joseph on a daily basis? After any regularly scheduled prayer time, just say, Chaste Heart of St. Joseph, pray for us. Anytime you pray, just throw in Chaste Heart of St. Joseph, pray for us. That's all it takes. He was a quiet man. Mm. He didn't need people constantly like looking after him. A little attention his direction is enough to go a long way. Now, I bet many of your listeners did not know that St. Joseph actually appeared to a modern saint, a great modern saint, a very famous mystic, St. Faustina Kowalska. Mm. And he told her, I will protect you. I will provide for you. I will look over you. And you only have to do a couple of short prayers in my honor. Pray an Our Father, pray a Hail Mary, and pray the Memorare of St. Joseph. Now, many people have never heard of the Memorare of St. Joseph. I had never heard of it until I read Father Calloway's book. And then I started researching, and I started praying, and I started discerning. And essentially, the Memorare of St. Joseph is very easy if you've never heard it. Simply change the Memorare that you pray to the Virgin Mary. Remember, Most Gracious Virgin Mary. Say, remember, Most Gracious St. Joseph, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection implored your help. And anywhere there's a mother, change it to father. And anywhere there's a mother of the Word incarnate, foster father of the Word incarnate. But this is important. Why is this important? Because St. Joseph is saying to a saint, never was it known that anyone who called upon my help or sought my intercession was left unaided. So too, we can be assured that he's not going to leave us unaided. So I actually have printed out some memorare cards to give of all of you guys of St. Joseph.
Praise be to God. Thank you.
So that's why I brought some that you guys can't see it, but I've got pictures and little things here. But they're not just for myself because I have them everywhere. They're like, whoa, this guy's setting up a shrine.
What is your favorite image of St. Joseph?
This one that I have right here.
And can you describe
it's by a priest in Salamanca. No, it's from the Salamanca College, 1890s, I believe. It's beautiful. A young St. Joseph, beautiful, full beard, one that I'm envious of, one that Joe McLean is envious of. And he's holding a young Jesus. It's absolutely beautiful. And I'm actually going to go ahead.
I love the images of young St. Joseph.
Yes, I do too.
Virile, manly images of St. Joseph. I mean, it's just so incredible to see. And for so long, you just get these images of an old, frail guy. You know, and that's the image that we've grown up with, but that's not necessarily the case.
Absolutely.
And that's why when we read the gospel today, we sort of we looked at that one point. I sort of ended on that one point of, you know, Jesus was a son to a man's man, you know?
Yes, and nothing against older people.
No, of course not. But as Mother Angelica first coined the term, Father Calloway stole it, and he stole it. Old men don't walk to Egypt.
And that's right. No, they don't. Not easily.
You know, old men aren't going to stand guard and protect this incredible holy family against all the perils of robbers along the way or any other dangers that will come the way. So it's a powerful reality to sit and ponder the life of a man whose life can be, for the most part, hidden, but we have to dig a little deeper to find it.
Yes, the theology is very solid. And as you know, I'm a huge devotee of the Virgin Mary, and I'm constantly pushing Marian consecration. And St. Joseph is the perfect model of Marian consecration. He's the first one to have said, Totus tuus, Maria, I give you everything. And everything he did was to benefit and to provide and to protect Our Lady for the purpose of serving God. And so anybody who's done their total consecration to the Virgin Mary and you've dedicated your life to the Virgin Mary, you have nothing to worry about because St. Joseph provided for her perfectly. And so too, if you're at her service, if you're doing her work, He's going to provide for you. Mm. You just have to call upon his name and don't worry about it. A lot of times we do God great disservice by not having confidence in him and having confidence in the intercession of his saints. So I strongly encourage you to learn that Memorare of St. Joseph. Mm. For me personally, I've replaced all my Memorares of the Virgin Mary to the Memorare of St. Joseph. And you might say,
all of them.
I never say Memorare to the Virgin Mary anymore.
What?
I pray my rosary to her. I feel like she's saying, Gabe, you can give this prayer to him. Oh. I've got tons of prayers.
Mary, he doesn't mean it.
I do mean it.
Hold it against him, Arlie.
And you will never meet a guy who loves me. Well, you might. Hopefully you meet men who love her more than me. Yeah. But I love her a lot. I love her so much. But she says, give this one prayer to St. Joseph. He asked for it. Throw the man a bone.
Just one.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. That makes sense. I can get with that. Emily, you were going to say something?
No, I'm holding up this image here. Okay. It's my favorite image. But that's so funny. If you knew how many rosaries Gabriel prayed a day, you'd say, it's okay, he can have the Memorare for St. Joseph. It's fine.
It just feels so unbalanced. The guy who's providing for me, Chase Hart of St. Joseph, pray for us.
Yeah.
No, I'll give the man a Memorare.
Yeah, praise be to God. You know, and I think we can't understate that enough as husbands and fathers.
Yes.
Like, it's our job to protect, lead and provide for our family, and the intercession of St. Joseph is a powerful means with which to do that. One of my personal pious practices is after holy mass, I like to go forward to the altar rail, and I usually will go to a statue of Our Lady, but when I receive communion, it's usually by St. Joseph. So I'm always speaking to St. Joseph during communion or after, and I ask him specifically, I consecrate my family to, I say, his protective heart, and I ask St. Joseph to guard and protect my wife and my children and our property. I also consecrate them to the Immaculate Heart of Mary every Sunday as well.
Amen.
But the reality is, when Jesus died, he didn't just die just for us, like just me and you, that's all there ever is. He gave us this incredible family, you know, his mom, his foster father, his father in heaven, the Holy
Amen.
Ghost, the saints, you know, and he gives us this incredible toolkit of graces and sacraments and sacramentals, and we're hardly scratching the surface in use of them.
That's right. It's no coincidence that when the church is suffering greatly, and it is, that the greatest thing that the Holy Father could do was dedicate the year to St. Joseph and to have this feast. It's a very special year, and we're in a very special time in the church. And we can be assured that regardless of even the chaos in the church, the spiritual act of consecrating this year to St. Joseph, if you think about it, it's very significant, because if you think about how Christ came into the world, first he came, Mary entered the scene, then Joseph entered the scene, then Jesus entered the scene.
Mm.
So now we are set up for a great spiritual awakening. It might be difficult, but there's going to be a great spiritual awakening, and I truly believe that this year of St. Joseph is part of that, setting the stage for that.
And let's not forget about Fatima. He appeared at Fatima with
right.
Jesus blessing the world. And
that's
not.
Right.
All right, Gabriel Castillo, TrueFaith.tv. God love you and God bless you. Thanks for getting up early and coming in today.
And thanks for having me on. God bless you all, and go to Joseph.
Praise be to God. Go to our website, grnonline.com/CDT. to get the links. God love you.
Thank you for joining us on Your Catholic Drive Time.